Yes, sir. Okay. I now call to order the regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals. Notice to the public, the time, the date, the place, and the agenda for this meeting was published on October the 6th, 2015 in the Aiken Standard. Notice to contiguous property owners and signs were posted also on October 6, 2015. On October 23, 2015, notice was mailed to the city webpage, to the city clerk for posting on the finance building, administration building notice board, and the notice board at the municipal building at least 24 hours before this meeting. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information that's according to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. Any person that wishes to have a conversation with the board, we ask that you occupy the cubicle to my left. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversations with the board can be properly recorded. Anyone wishes to have a copy of today's proceedings, we ask that you sign up on the sign-up sheet just beyond the double doors, or you may contact by phone the planning department. When addressing the board, please state your name and your address. To the board, you have received copies of the minutes from the August 25th, 2015 meeting. Are there any corrections or additions? And I do have to compliment the staff on the minutes. It's almost like a book, but it was good reading. Thank you. Are there any questions, comments on the minutes from the August meeting?
I make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve the minutes for the August 25th meeting.
I second.
It's been properly moved and second that the minutes from the August 25th, 2015 meeting be approved. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I'll pass the orders around. Could I add on 3B for the application for Keaton Patel for the special exception, you have another exhibit there, Exhibit J, that was at your desk when you came in. Just
thank you.
To get that attached to the proper application.
Thank you. We'll move directly into new business. I call your attention to application 16-92001. That's a special exception request to allow the operations of a Type 2 occupational home business at 426 Greenwich Drive to the city. Has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
They're all in all the inquiries in the packet.
Thank you. You have a presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is a continuance from the previous meeting, a request for a special exception for type 2 home occupation. The applicant meets all the requirements for a type 1 home occupation, except that she has another employee, and by having an employee that lives outside of the residence, it makes it a type 2, which requires a special exception hearing before the board and approval, public hearing. It is located in River Bluff at 426 Greenwich Drive. It's zoned residential multifamily limited. The applicant makes nameplates for ROTC students working in a garage. It was continued, there was some discussions with the homeowners association, and it was continued until tonight. You might note Exhibit K in your agenda packet, which is a letter from the River Bluff Neighborhood Association.
Just as information, an example of a type 1 business would be like a music instructor that teaches, let's say, piano in their home.
That, or a lot of computer-based businesses. You know, it's something that you don't have people coming and going. You don't have the ride by the house. It looks like a house, acts like a house. There's no disruption to the neighborhood. Pretty much people don't know it's there.
Thank you. Do we have any questions to the city by the board?
The only difference, Tommy, is the fact between 1 and 2 is the employee that lives outside the home or is not part of the family living in that house. Is that right?
In this particular case. There are other, a type 2 home occupation could be like a hairdresser that's working out of the house. We have had a tax service where they work out of their house. There's other type 2 home occupations that have, it's generated because of the traffic. But in this case, the reason it trips over to a type 2 home occupation is solely because of the extra employee.
Is there a limit on the amount of additional employees to stay within the type 2 designation?
Absolutely. And I believe that's 1, but let me double check it right quick. It allows not more than 1 non-resident of the home to be employed.
All right, so the granting of a variance then, the applicant would be limited to just the 1 employee. That would not open up additional employees then, correct?
Right, it'd be limited to 1 employee not residing in the home.
Pat? Just one question. We could, within the normal powers of the Board of Zoning Appeals, grant this special exception, but limit it as far as number of weeks or number of months in the year. Is that correct?
My understanding is you can put conditions that's germane on a application, yes, sir.
But in that this business is seasonal, we could limit it to the season that that they normally experience the increase in business and the need for the employee.
I think that would certainly be within the discretion of the board.
Thank you.
Do we have other questions from the board to the city? Thanks, Tommy. Is Ms. Skidmore here?
Yes.
Ms. Skidmore, you have received the staff report. Do you wish to embellish on the staff report or to answer questions to and from the board?
Yes, I would. Should I state my name and address?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Margaret Skidmore, and I live at 426 Greenwich Drive in Aiken, South Carolina, 29803.
questions from the board?
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Chairman. At the previous hearing and discussion, comments were made, testimony by the Homeowners Association representatives. My understanding is you have three children living with you in your home.
Four.
Four. Mm-hmm. Three of them are driving age?
No, two of them are driving age.
I'm sorry?
Two are driving age.
Two are driving age, so there's three drivers in the house, two non-drivers, and three cars?
Yes.
Okay. And you have a single-car garage?
Which we enclose. That's where I conduct business.
And the garage is used to manufacture your nameplates?
That's correct.
So you're not parking in the garage?
No, we're not.
So at any time, there could be four cars there in the driveway or in the street?
If I had an employee come over, it would be in the driveway, yes.
I'm sorry, could you speak to this?
If I had an employee, there would be four, yes. Right now, I have two vehicles.
And that was part of the concern of the Homeowners Association?
Part of it, yes.
And you discussed that with them?
We did.
Any resolution?
The HOA's going through, they decided not to allow businesses within the neighborhood. That's number four of the covenants. And even though they deem my business probably not to affect the neighborhood, there are other businesses that are applying for the same kind of thing that would. I have a letter from Matthew Golden that was sent to me prior to him sending the letter to you and to me about the HOA's decision to not allow businesses in the home, in the neighborhood. And can I add that to the to what you already have?
We would have to mark it as an exhibit. This.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there something in particular in the content of that letter you'd like to share with us?
It just states, Matthew Golden states that he does not, they do not find that my business would be a nuisance to the neighborhood. The HOA decided to go with it because they want to make sure that they're across the board with all people. They don't have to say yours is okay and somebody else is not okay. Also, he also said that in order for them to do anything about my business as it is, they would have to issue a cease and desist, which they do not plan on doing. So I would like to be approved at least for the next season until I can figure out what to do with my own business.
Mr. Chairman, if Ms. Skidmore has a copy of that letter, if she could, since we don't have copies here, y'all can't read it, if she were to have a copy of it, she could read it into the record as well.
Well, you may do that.
Would you like for me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. It says, Missy, this is Matthew Golden from the River Bluff HOA Board. Sorry for contacting you on Facebook. However, you're not in our RV directory, and I can't find your contact info online. This was the only way I could reach out to quickly explain everything. I just wanted to let you know that both our HOA attorney and the HOA management company who manages our affairs have advised us against allowing residential home-based Type 2 businesses with an outside employee in the neighborhood. I'm being told that there is now another resident applying for Type 2 zoning, and this person has a business that may be way much more of a nuisance than we are willing to allow. We generally agree that your business activities are not a problem as long as your employee parks in your driveway. However, since this appears to be a growing issue, we are sending a letter to Planning and Zoning asking them to consider our covenant, number four in particular, which specifically states that lots are used for residential purposes only. When making this decision, we will send you a copy of the letter for your files. That being said, the Planning and Zoning Board may simply ignore our letter and approve or deny your request or for whatever reasons they may have, and we can do nothing about it other than have our attorney send a cease and desist letter. I want for you to know that we have discussed your business at length, and again, we do not feel like your business activities are a nuisance. Therefore, we have no intention of asking you to cease and desist. We do not want to cause unnecessary problems for you or make your life more difficult. We are required to enforce the covenants as they stand, however, and the board would be liable if we do not. We do have people in the neighborhood who feel strongly that there should be no businesses allowed, and they have a strong argument given covenant number four. Therefore, the board is sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I'm sorry for all this, but we didn't have people trying to open up other more problematic types of businesses in the neighborhood. Then I believe it would be a different story. And then he says, feel free to contact me at his number, best Matt.
Thank you.
If she would give us a copy of that, that would be Exhibit J.
Exhibit J?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I have several questions. At the last meeting, it was brought up in the staff report about increased shipments. You stated that you do not normally ship your products by FedEx or UPS, and that in the staff report, it kind of suggested that some of the neighbors had complained about additional traffic. You don't normally receive, other than the average household, shipments from FedEx or UPS, except like at Christmas time, holidays, or whatever.
I receive shipments of my product, and I receive them in the fall. I received so far 4 shipments. They're large shipments, and we carry them up the hill, or I have a pretty steep driveway, so we carry them up the hill. I personally do not ship products out. I take them to FedEx, or actually it's a coin shop that accepts FedEx shipments, but most of mine go through USPS, and I use the Summerall station. And I travel there 4:30 every day, Monday through Saturday.
And the second question, have you looked at any other options for your business during the busy season?
I'm looking into options now. I would probably have to try to find somewhere to place the business. If I did that, it wouldn't be seasonal. I would just rent a place to keep the business. But at this point, that would really, really cut into, that would be a high cost for my family.
And that's sort of where I was going, thinking in terms of maybe renting some space during the peak periods, farming out the extra work to someone else in their household, some other place other than River Bluff.
This year, because I was denied where I was, my peak season is from the end of September to mid-October. So when I was denied, I had to outsource work, which means I had to take work to other people to do it. And it worked out okay, but to me, the traffic increase was much more for me farming out work than me just having it in my home and having one person come over and help me. So, but other than that, I think it affordably, it would be better for me to take the business out of the home. And at some point, I would like to do that. But the funds, because we were seasonal, I make so much money in 2 or 3 months that stretch the whole year. And so we had some increase in sales this year, but I would have to really look at cutting a great deal to be able to manage moving the business out of the home. It's no problem me going to work somewhere. It's more of paying rent and then on top of that, the employee and stuff. Right now, I'm just trying to afford an employee for seasonal work. Other than that, my family handles it. I have a daughter that's going to college that lives with me, and she's grown up with it. So she's the one that she had to pull a lot of hours this year to help keep up with the flow of activity. But it's a lot of hours for a college girl.
You have other questions from the board? Brandon?
You said the seasonality begins in September?
Yes.
And would extend to when?
Until about mid-October. So I would ask till about it to stretch it to the end of October just in case. But our school, when school set in, and mostly in the fall quarter, we do get an increased business in spring, but fall, that's when we have, it's so high to keep up with demand.
So you are in essence out of your peak season then now?
Yes, right. Okay. Now I am.
And you'll start back again in the springtime?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, the need for an employee would not start until the fall.
of the following fall.
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board?
Yes.
Judy?
If we happen to grant this for a type 2 business, it does not apply to everybody else. It's just this one specific business, right? I mean, it doesn't apply to everybody else.
Under the possible conditions in the staff report is that the special exception will not run with the land but be for Margaret Skidmore exclusively.
Okay.
So that if you put that in there, then there's no question about it.
But also, it would not, I mean, if somebody else in the neighborhood wanted a type 2, they would, that doesn't automatically grant it to them. They have to come back before us.
Correct.
To do that. Okay.
Each application would stand on its own merit.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
There may be a type 2 that you find compatible and another type 2 that not be compatible.
Okay.
Do we have other questions from the board? Thank you.
All right. Do I leave the letter?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
One other question. Help me with the FedEx or UPS delivery. The most deliveries you would get to your home would be during the seasonal period, this roughly 60-day period, September, October time frame. Is that right?
That's correct. The volume is so high that we have several USPS or UPS deliveries during that time. Okay. I'll receive a couple more throughout the year, but that'll be it. We buy in bulk as much as possible.
But this is not like two a day. You're talking about maybe four possibly during that seasonal period.
Over eight weeks, four or five.
Okay. Other than that, it would be a normal delivery if you've got holiday packages coming in or something like that. It's just a normal.
That's correct. I ship out, I take personally, and I always have taken. I've never requested pickups at my home.
Okay. Now, how often do you see a UPS truck or FedEx truck in your neighborhood when you're not using it?
It's fairly frequent.
Okay.
It's fairly frequent. I noticed that because of the last, I paid attention. Noticed because of the last meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any further questions? Thank you.
Yeah.
The exhibit,
I get it for you.
All right, thank you. Excuse me, I'm going to step out for a moment. My daughter hasn't gotten in touch with me, so she's kind of 45 minutes late. So I'm just going to step here and see if I can. I've got a couple of texts.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request?
My name is Philip Mason, and I'm speaking on behalf of the HOA board. The one thing I'd really like to talk about is Mr. Golden's letter to her through Facebook. And again, I don't have the wording with me right in front of me, but he says at this time, he says, "We do not plan to ask you to cease and desist." That is a general statement that's happening right now because we do have a couple people with type 1 businesses, and we don't want to go through and just shut down everybody's businesses and cause a hardship in everyone's lives. But we are meeting with our lawyer tomorrow, actually, to discuss the revision of our covenants and codes. This has proved to be a very difficult thing because of several issues that aren't really applicable here, but the point is in terms of the cease and desist, this is something that we are hoping to work on and to move the businesses out of the neighborhood completely in the somewhat near future, in the next year or 2 years or something. So it's kind of a long perspective, but somewhat near future. So while he said that, it kind of needs to be put in there parenthetically that in the near future. And it's true, we really don't have a problem with this business, but the problem is that the covenants stay at such, and there needs to be consistency within the neighborhood, and there have been complaints, as seen by at least the one family formally, but there have been others on our end as well that have not come out formally to the city. So I guess I simply would just like to state that, yeah, we do have a few businesses. We've had businesses in the past, and this is an angle that we are moving from, and we are currently involved with talking with a lawyer and finding out how to best do these things without disrupting everyone's lives.
Questions from the board to Mr. Mason?
Pat?
Yes. You realize that it's not our function to enforce the deed restrictions or covenants.
Absolutely. I'm making
that
absolutely.
It would be up to the Homeowners Association to enforce these through a civil action.
That is correct, and that is what will be happening. If it moves to a Type 2 and someone in the neighborhood complains, As Matt said in his letter, we could actually be held liable, and so we would have to do that and push for a cease and desist. And that is something we would do.
Well,
if there is a complaint within the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. If there's no such complaint, then we leave it be. But if there's a complaint and somebody pushes it, then we, if you granted it, we would have to push a cease and desist.
Well, our particular concern specifically is the six criteria that in this case, for a special exception, we have 10 criteria. The criteria that a applicant must satisfy in order for us to grant a special exception. And it, with the existence of the deed restrictions and covenants, my particular concern is criteria number 4 is compatible with existing uses adjacent to and near the property and will not otherwise adversely affect the development of the general neighborhood. And it sounds like the Homeowners Association is saying that in this particular case, this is inconsistent. It would adversely affect.
We're saying that businesses in general are inconsistent. We have a small number of them that we have found out, and we're pushing it, yes. So it's not this one particularly, but businesses in general that are moving in and creeping in. In the past, we had one, in the recent past, we had someone who was doing power washing. And they were a Type 1, so during the day, their vehicles and their equipment would be gone, but every night they would block up more than half of the road. And so the point is that it's hard to say, well, one it works, one doesn't, and we're just trying to go back and make things clear and be consistent with our covenants and codes. And I realize that that is on my end and not on yours.
The other criteria that it seems to that you seem to be challenging is number 5, will not generate vehicular traffic and create vehicular circulation problems, parking demands that have unacceptable adverse impact on the nearby properties.
Correct.
And you're saying that this particular applicant or all Type 2 business would create this condition?
In particular, this one, as they already have 3 vehicles, as the report says, and that there would be a 4th, and there's no room in the garage. The driveway is very steep, and they would be on the already small road, narrow road.
It sounds like you're saying that there could be a Type 2 application that might not be challenged on this criteria.
Correct.
If there were fewer drivers, fewer cars, say a garage.
On this, given that criteria, yes. Mm-hmm. It would be on the consistency of the neighborhood, and that the 98% of the neighborhood is for residential only. That is our big, that would be the chief and consistent criteria that we would argue.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board to Mr. Mason? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request? Final call. Others to speak to the special exception request? Ms. Skidmore, did you want to have 2 minutes to rebut?
I don't think so, sir.
The chair will now entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chair, for the sake of discussion, I will make a motion that this board approve to allow the operation of a Type 2 home occupation for an engraving business at 426 Greenwich Drive as described in Exhibits A, B through J, and be limited to Mrs. Margaret Skidmore only during her peak season, or be for the months of September and October of that particular year.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Judy, second. It's been properly moved and second that we deny the request.
No, I said approve.
Approve the request. I'm sorry. Approve the request for a special exception. Do we have any discussion?
I'd like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. I can't agree with the motion. As I stated to the Homeowner Association representative, it's not our function to enforce the deed restrictions or covenants, but I think those speak clearly for the conditions that are acceptable to the neighborhood in terms of criteria 4 and 5. And I think the Homeowners Association is a good measure barometer, a good speaker to whether or not this particular application would satisfy criteria 4 and 5. As it clearly wouldn't, the application certainly can't be approved.
Any others? I feel that, you know, other options should be explored, that that's not the only option to have the expanded business or during the peak periods in a house, that there are other potential options that could be explored and could satisfy the requirements of meeting the peak periods of a business.
Well, is there any way that we possibly could put a timeline on it? Let this go through 2016, and that's it? Give her time to explore? Or is that too long a time to explore?
I don't know how we would enforce or measure that.
I have to write that. I think that may be something that's enforceable. It would be certainly as enforceable. My question would be, you grant the special exception for Type 2 home occupation to a certain date. Then after that date, does it revert to a Type 1 home occupation?
or as a condition of that, does it have to relocate? I would think that a type 1, since it's allowed there by right, I would think that it would go back to a type 1. And then after that date, it'd be our responsibility to make sure that she had no employees that wasn't living in the home taking place there. So I think it would be something we would be able to enforce.
Let me ask you this also then. Because of the homeowners, I mean, the homeowner association has said they want no businesses in there. Can they do get away? Can they get rid of the type ones also?
That's a separate issue. Yeah, as far as the zoning ordinance, it's allowed by right. But there again, you have covenants that may be more restrictive than the homeowners association, but that's enforced in a different venue. So if we get a business license that comes through for type 1 home occupation, I think the planning department is bound to approve it if it meets all the criteria. But the homeowners association, in turn, could take action to get rid of it.
I think clearly that in the past we have had strict adherence to the criteria, and certainly if there's a couple of criteria that are in question, I don't think we want to be at odds,
right.
Even though we don't enforce homeowners association covenants, but we certainly don't want to be at odds with them too, or be contrary to them purposely.
So if she was limited to this business, her until June 30, 2016, regardless of that, you feel it would be contrary to the two criteria that have been discussed. Is that right?
Yeah, because of one of the peak periods is in the spring.
Now, her peak period, I thought, was September and October.
She would not need the employee in the spring.
In the spring.
Just the next fall.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any further discussion from the board? Seeing, hearing none. Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand.
Can I hear the motion one more time, please?
Yes.
What is the motion one more time?
I'll do my best to repeat what I said. I asked, put the motion forth that the approval be granted to allow an operation of a type 2 home occupation to Mrs. Margaret Skidmore for an engraving business at 426 Greenwich Drive, as described in Exhibits A through J, and it be limited to Mrs. Sizemore, for a period of 12 months. But I, in turn, also indicated maybe June 30th, but I don't know, Mr. Chairman, can I amend my motion to say June 30th.
With the approval of the second.
Okay. Yeah. I will amend it to say until June 30th, 2016.
Is that satisfied, John?
Yes, thank you.
Again, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Three. Those opposed, say. We have a 3-3, and therefore the application is lost for the lack of not getting a majority. So that, therefore, the motion fails. I call your attention to application 1692002, a special exception request to allow constructions of a multifamily development at 881 Lauren Street to the city. Has this been properly posted?
Yes, sir, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
only those that's included in the packet and the additional one that we received today that we gave you the hard copies of this evening.
Presentation.
This is a special exception application from Keaton Patel to allow construction of a multifamily development at 881 Lawrence Street. This is zoned general business, and in a general business zoning district for multifamily, a special exception approval from the Board of Zoning Appeals is required. The proposed development will contain two buildings, as indicated here, three stories each with a parking lot in the center. Access to the parking lot will be provided by the curb cut on Lawrence Street. The maximum number of dwelling units allowed will be 23. And I bring that to your attention because it's an odd number. That is the, typically you would have 24 fill out the building, but in this case it's 23 because a 24th unit would exceed the maximum density allowed.
For that lot?
For that lot, yes.
Thank you.
How is that determined?
That was determined, basically it's 3,000 in the general business district for a residential prop or residential multifamily requires 3,000 square feet per dwelling unit. Each of the two buildings will have a footprint that is approximately 100 feet by 60 feet, and the proposed plan also contains a detention pond and provides for open space between Lawrence Street and the apartment building. The parcel is 1.58 acres and it's currently undeveloped. And then surrounding area, this is, you'll notice it's lengthwise on Lawrence Street there. It backs up to another apartment complex. Surrounding it is single-family detached residential multifamily. Across the street is a city water tower. And to the east there are several lots zoned RS-15, which is currently developed. And to the north there's a lot zoned RSH, which contains a single-family home. And to the west there's an RML zoning on which there's six multifamily apartment buildings in the single complex, and the entire complex consists of 56 dwelling units. And just kind of looking at the density of some of them in the neighborhood, this current project would have 14.5 units per acre, which is 23 units. Glen Arbor, which is directly behind it, has 56 units on 4.9 acres, where it has 11.4 units per acre. And a little further down the street is Cushman Arms Apartment. I'm sorry, I don't know the proper name for it today. I've always known them as Cushman Arms Apartments. That's what they were named when they originally opened, and there's been name changes through the years. But the apartments at Cushman Drive and Lawrence Street, formerly known as Cushman Arms, has 34 units on 3 acres, and that's a density of 11.3 units per acre. Any questions?
I have a couple. This is not proposing any turn lanes on Lawrence Street.
No, so based on the traffic counts and the traffic generation, a traffic study was not required. I believe That's a lot of light through there.
And also, can you tell me what you were trying to show us in exhibits H2, 3, 4, and 5?
These are photographs of Cushman Arms Apartments that was submitted to the department. And I believe that was there's not an attachment letter with it.
No. There is an attachment letter as Exhibit I.
Yes. I think that may be where it came from, because these are not pictures that staff went out and took.
Okay. I assume that they were conditions of this other piece of property?
Yes.
That they are trying to show?
Yes. I think what they're trying to show is, my understanding is that Mr. Patel owns this property as well.
Okay.
Of course, he's in the audience and can address that.
Other questions to the city by the board? Pat?
This may be covered in Exhibit B, but I certainly can't read it. How many parking spaces would be required with 23 units?
It would be 1.5 per apartment. So.
And how many are actually proposed in the project? I mean, do I just count them on Exhibit B?
10, 7, 20.
It's like 23.
We got 19. 29,
30, 30. 7 or about 36. An engineer can correct me if I'm wrong on that. That looks like about 36.
And are these are one bedroom apartments or multiple bedroom apartments?
You need to ask them. We haven't gotten into the interior design of the apartment.
And even so, the only requirement is for 1.5 parking spaces per apartment, even if they're two bedroom apartments? I guess my concern is, where are all the cars going to park?
Yes, when you're talking about parking, you go to 4.5.1, and for a multifamily, it's 1.5 spaces per dwelling unit. For a single family, it's 2 spaces per dwelling unit, and so on. It doesn't calculate the size or the number of bedrooms or any of that on the table. It's all a matter of what use is, and then it's calculated that way.
Okay, let me ask a question in another way. With 23 units, could we, if we approve this, insist on 2 parking spaces per unit?
I think as a condition of the special exception, if
I'm sorry?
I think that could be put in as a condition of the special exception, yes, sir. You want it, if the board felt like there was a need for increased parking, that, you know, that could be articulated, that would certainly be a condition that they could keep.
Well, over and over again, I'm seeing PRs and even apartment complexes that are PRs and less than sufficient parking spaces.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go over that with the applicant. Thank you.
Yes.
Other questions to the city from the board?
Again, the number of units per acre for this particular project is 14.5. Did I understand that?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correctly.
14.5. Yes.
Okay, that's for the 23 units.
Yes.
Okay. The other two apartment complexes that you mentioned, the one right behind this or to the west of this project is 11.4 units per acre, and it has 56.
Has 56 units on 4.9 acres at 11.4 units per acre. Okay.
And then the Cushman Arms
is 34 units.
Okay.
On 3 acres at 11.3 units per acre.
Okay. And nowhere in your data do we have the number of parking spaces associated with each one of these.
Okay. The Glen Arbor, I don't know what the parking ratio is, but they would have been, as far as the design criteria, they would have had to have met the 1.5. Is there. Now, they may have more than that. The and Cushman Arms, that was built long ago, you know, long enough ago. I can't say the parking ratio may not have changed since then.
Do we have further questions for the city from the board? Thanks, Tommy. Mr. Patel.
Good evening. My name is Philip Green. I'm with Southern Partners.
I'm sorry, a little louder, please.
Philip Green with Southern Partners, 1233 Augusta West Parkway, Augusta, Georgia. I'm representing Mr. Patel for this application for a special exception. As you probably noted in the staff reports, this property is owned general business, which, as Mr. Paradise pointed out, requires us to get a special exception for the multifamily residential. Along this corridor of Lawrence Street in the comprehensive plan that the city has adopted, it points out that the point along this part of Lawrence Street is to limit some commercial development and encourage residential, and that being the case, we felt that the residential development was applicable to this site. As you can see from the layout, we have laid out the two buildings, again with the 23 units to meet the city code, parking to meet the city code. We would request, going through the rest of these, the items, again, our traffic will exit and enter directly off of Lawrence Street. As regards to the geometry of that entrance, that is a DOT-controlled access, and we will not only have to meet the city requirements as far as that driveway, but also anything the DOT will require of us on Lawrence Street itself. I don't think there's, again, looking through the staff report, there that's pretty straightforward as far as the what I believe are the minimal impacts to the surrounding areas. Again, we've got good existing buffers on both sides to the single-family residential. We have the apartments directly behind us and a water tower across the street. So I believe that we will fit well into that area of Lawrence Street, be an asset for the community and the city of Aiken.
Mr. Green, shown in Exhibit B, for 23 units, you're only showing two garbage dumpsters. Is that enough?
I believe it is. I don't know that the city has any. Again, when it goes through city review, I'm sure they'll have sanitation will comment on that if they believe that's insufficient.
But you heard my question specifically about exhibits H2345, the letter from the Cushman Drive Association dated August 25th, 2015.
Yes, sir.
The letter from the Cushman Drive Association dated October 25th, 15, talks specifically about trash. There's trash all over the place, and if you're only showing two dumpsters to handle 23 units, Is that enough?
Again, I believe that the Cushman property my client bought in July, so the what you see from August and any of those letters from August, he was barely owned the property. And even now, he is making improvements to that property as he moves forward. This is separate, and again, the sanitation department for the city of Aiken could probably comment on the number of dumpsters necessary. I don't know that I would be opposed to putting a third dumpster there if that was considered necessary.
But we are addressing the 11 criteria.
Yes,
for the special exception, and again, we have neighbors criteria 4 and 5 that talks about good neighbors and concerns and impacts to neighbors, and certainly if we have exhibits from the neighbors, that means that there's a problem that needs to be addressed, or that you need to address the neighbors.
You were talking about the Cushman property?
Yes.
The Cushman Road property?
Well, the effect
that needs to be addressed? You lost me.
They are addressing the same owner will own both properties.
Yes, sir.
And they're talking about an existing condition that's a property that's next door to the one he planned to build.
Yes, sir.
That plan to resolve the issues that's with the current piece of property.
Again, he bought the property in July, and he inherited certain conditions on that property, which he is working to resolve.
Other questions to Mr. King from the board?
I have questions, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
23 units. How many bedrooms?
Most likely 2-bedroom units.
Most likely. You're the architect.
No, sir. I'm the site engineer.
Oh, you're the site engineer. I guess I need to talk to the architect. I need to know how many bedrooms in 23 units. Are we talking about 46 bedrooms?
For argument's sake, we can say 46 bedrooms.
Okay.
Yes,
how
sir.
Many parking spaces?
For the city code, it's 1.5 per dwelling unit.
You think that's sufficient?
The city code does. I'm not going to argue against the
city
code.
Yeah, but it may not satisfy this board.
Yes, sir.
Question is, where are the additional cars going to park? They can't park on Lawrence Street.
That's correct.
Are they going to park on Greenwich Avenue?
No, sir.
Where are they going to park?
Again, this layout is designed per the city code. If the board
out is to maximize the number of units to the ultimate level for this lot for the minimum number of parking spaces.
It's to meet the city code, yes, sir.
Maximum number of units, minimum number of parking spaces.
That meets the city code, yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the board to Mr. Green?
Maybe I missed something. Philip, each unit, I'm looking at this drawing, which is not large enough for my eyesight, but is each apartment unit, is it 12 per?
12 in one, 11 on the other.
Okay, is that okay? It looks like my drawing shows 12 and 12, but anyway.
And this may have been done
12 and 12 because that would exceed the 23, bud. Otherwise, it's 24.
I understand. I'm just saying, I'm just reading what the drawing is showing.
And, you're right.
So, as far as the density is concerned, what Mr. Paradise was discussing earlier.
Yes, sir.
The units were, if this is 14.5 per acre, was there any consideration and I know you talked about the city code, I understand that. Was there any consideration of reducing that density to conform with the other densities on a per acre basis for the other two apartment complexes, like the other two apartment complexes, or like the apartment complex that Mr. pill just purchased in July, like reducing the density down to 11 and a half or 12 or something like that to kind of conform with all the others.
Right. We had not had any conversations with city staff or anybody about the surrounding densities. Again, if that's a condition that the board feels necessary to put on this property, we would have to work within that.
And I guess where I'm going with this, Philip, if you reduce the density, that would reduce probably the number of dwelling units in each building.
Yes, sir.
With that, the parking lot could be enlarged possibly slightly to address the issue of number of cars that could be parked in here. And again, maybe it would exceed the city code, possibly, of 36 to, I don't know, 40 or something like that. Add two, may not meet the times two, but it would at least increase, you'd exceed the number of parking spaces that is required by city code if you reduce the apartment building size to satisfy a lower density. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir. And, if we go to an 11 and a half density on the 1.6 acres, we're looking at 18 units, and so if we had 36 parking spaces, we would be at a 2.0 ratio.
Thank you.
Mr. Green, I guess I have the other big concern is that I don't see the normal creature comforts like park areas, playground. You expect kids to be in this area, a laundry. I mean, we're going to have a large concentration of people, and these little amenities are not there.
Yes, sir. In fact, Mr. Patel and I had talked. His general building plan is basically for 24 units, so obviously one will not be a residence. That being said, there is a potential to convert that to a laundry. There is plenty of green space and open area on the property that such an amenity could be added, as far as a playground or something of that nature.
Can you point some out to me? I noticed that the fence is encroaching that needs to be removed. Are you talking in the back?
In the back, yes, sir. And again, yes, the neighbor's fence is encroaching, and that will need to be removed and put on their property.
My concern is, like I said, I think having apartments would be fine there, much better than having another quick shop to whatever. But my concern is that I don't want a piece of property to come there and then have no maintenance to it, too.
Yes, ma'am.
And, being a good neighbor down at Cushman Arms, you have somebody to come clean up the trash. You have somebody mow those areas that are the city's, but that are not being maintained or grow too fast or whatever. So that's what good neighbors do. If you're in your own house and you have a sidewalk, but on the other side of the walk before the street, there's grassy area, you don't just let it grow up in front of your house. And that's what's happening at Cushman Arms. And how do we know that's not going to happen here at the new place?
Well, again, I don't want to speak for Mr. Patel, but I mean, he lives in Aiken. He is a local business owner, has been here for years. He inherited a number of issues at Cushman Arms, and he is trying to resolve those as time and money allow.
Well, one of the comments, though, was that the former owner, I'm quoting from a letter of October 26, the former owner, which was located out of state, was easier to work with. All we had to do was send an email, and he took care of it. This gentleman was walking on the grounds last week, and a child was sitting on the broken fence taking a selfie. Said it's not happening like it did with the former owner. So I mean, like I say, we don't want a trash pit on Lauren Street.
I understand that. I don't believe my client or myself or anybody in the city does.
Do we have further questions from the board to Mr. Green? Thank you.
Thank you, board.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request?
Good evening. My name is Tom Ulrich. I live in Lancaster, South Carolina.
State your name again, please.
Tom Ulrich, U-L-R-I-C-H.
Thank you.
And I live at 272 Craig Manor Road in Lancaster, South Carolina. I am an employee and representative for the Fendigraph Company that owns Glen Arbor Apartments, directly behind this particular property here. I guess this property was built in 2001 and 2002, Glen Arbor was. We bought the property and sold it to this gentleman. And there are several concerns that we have, that I have. The first of being the size of that property right there, the stormwater. We, even with the acreage we had a lot of trouble with stormwater and trying to get it taken care of. I don't foresee this area and the way he's got everything packed in there, I don't foresee him getting away without having even more problems with stormwater than we did. The density on this apartment complex is way too high. For that, for an acre and a half of land, that's just, or a little over an acre and a half, that's just too much. I hate to get into this, but based on, I've been coming and going through Aiken for years. We also own another apartment complex in town, Trotter's Run. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. Both of our properties are kept up right to the T. If something happens and something gets out of place, it gets taken care of right away. We have groundspeople that cut the grass. The trash is picked up by the maintenance man or the managers every day, except for Saturday and Sunday. A lot of times the manager or the maintenance man might drive through on a Saturday or Sunday and see where somebody might have thrown a can out from the road, Lincoln Avenue, throw it over in the yard. Then they'll pick it up and put it away. We have very, very strict guidelines on who we rent to. We have to have a criminal report, credit report. And if you've got anything, as far as a criminal, if you get anything other than a traffic violation, you're not going to get in. So we are very, very strict on that. If there happens to be, and this is of all of our apartment complexes that we've got in North and South Carolina, if drugs show up on that property in any way, shape, or form, it's an automatic eviction. You don't get a second chance. So that's, I'm very concerned about, based on what I have seen today and for years back at Cushman Arms or Colony Woods, as they call it now, I'm very concerned that if they build this and it goes down the tubes like this other one, where the clientele is the same, a lot of that, those problems are going to infiltrate over onto Glen Arbor Apartments. So that's my big concern right there. Noise, nuisance. We try to, I know we keep our people quiet. They're all good people. Some of them have been there for a long time, since the day we opened. And that goes to show you right there that we try to maintain our properties daily.
Any questions?
Therefore, I'm against it.
Any question from the board to Mr. Ulrich?
Well, a question for the city in relation to Mr. Ulrich's question on stormwater runoff. What's the city's stance or criteria on the proposed, you know, retention pond or detention pond, and how that would work. Is that sufficient?
I wouldn't know. I don't. When we get the plans, the engineered plans, and what you have here is a basic concept plan. The stormwater is calculated into that, and there's the depth of the pond, and we ship a copy of those plans to our engineering department, and they do all the engineering review when it comes to the stormwater management. So I really don't feel comfortable saying that would or would not be a problem. Southern Partners is a good, reputable engineering firm. They're going to try to do it right as far as stormwater runoff. They represent their client, but I can't say one way or the other.
Okay.
And to that, sir, the other thing about the retainage pond, they won't know until then whether they're going to make it what we call a wet pond or a dry pond. A wet pond would hold water continuously, and that pond's right on Lincoln Avenue, so therefore kids going to school, you know how kids can be going to school, and I think they stand out in that corner to catch the bus. I would be scared to death that some of the people from Glen Arbor would possibly mess around and get in that pond if it were a rainy time like now, and that pond's got a lot of water in it. Even the fence is not going to stop them a lot of times. Some, you know, kids will play.
Do we have any additional questions from the board to Mr. Aldrich? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request? Final call. Mr. Patel, you wish to rebut?
I am Ketan Patel, 111 Queens Court, Aiken, South Carolina. I live. Since I took over Colony Woods apartment on July 8th, I'm not prepared to say anything about that. What I have done to that property, that's actually they have to notice. Purposely, those kids, they were damaging the fences. I've been fixing and it's been fixed. My yard guy I took over the previous owner's contract, he took some advantage of that. He was not cutting grass and all that. I was in impression that city's probably taking care of that. And then as soon as I figured out, I changed the contract to other guy and he's taking care of all that stuff. Rear gate, when I saw the DOT problem, so I called DOT. Instead of putting crushing run, they put some dirt on it, and after all that heavy rain, it became turned into the mud. I put myself 20 bags of concrete up there and make it right up. I have put surveillance camera that already stopped the garbage problem. Instead of two-time pickup, I turn into the three times in a week. I have planted 20 crepe myrtle and couple other live oaks and all that in that property. The seal code parking lot is going to be done as soon as weather gets straight. I have evicted two families that they were actually three families that I found they have a troublemaker. So all my other tenants, they're really happy, and they see what is turning into the that what it was before. Also, I have almost 12 apartments. I have put new paint, new flooring, and I keep improving because I want that neighborhood to be a nice neighborhood, not like what they had impression in the past. And talking about new project here, I believe I'm comfortable with only two stories with the 16, eight dwelling in each building. Because 23 myself, I can see is a lot more than what it takes. So what people talking about the bad about Colony Woods, in fact, they should cooperate also. Instead of, when I have seen on my camera system that outsiders making a mess for no reason. So I try my best to make it really good. And I don't know why they don't see the goodness than the not as badness. But thanks for that.
How did you go from 16 units to, of your vision, to 23?
Two-story, like four each floor, that's eight on one building and eight on the other side. So okay. That's 16. Instead of three stories, just two stories. That's what my initial goal was, that. But then the engineer said, well, by city core, probably take three-story. But I can see two-story, because my background is also civil engineering, and I can see that 16 apartments, two bedrooms, can be a very roomy up there.
Other questions to Mr. Patel from the board?
I do.
Judy.
Mr. Patel, I rode, when I got the letter today, I rode through, I rode down Cushman Drive, and I rode into the Colony Apartments, or whatever the name is now, and it is just full of trash, all over the grounds and everything. And I don't recall seeing the plantings and everything. I'm a garden person, so I normally would have noticed that, but I'll go back. But the yards and the drive and everything was full of trash everywhere.
I was just right while, before I come here, I was there. The dumpster area is very clean, and the 20 crepe myrtle, right, every alternate section of the apartment.
Like I said, there's trash on the ground and on the pavement and on the grass in there.
I have not seen. I have a camera system up there too. If you want to go back a couple hours before, even yesterday, it's there. And because of not having good clear vision, so I took the board temporarily on this side. That way I can see who's dumping the dumpster trash outside. I just took off the side of boards temporarily just to figure out who is doing this.
Right.
And constantly, last 3 months, I'm the one who's spending every single day up there.
You know? Like I say, there's trash there, because I rode through there probably about 1:30 or 2 o'clock today, I'm not sure. You can check your cameras and see, because I was there.
And like I said, the people who live right at the dumpster area, they can see all that too.
But this is from the street, this is from Lawrence all the way back, in the drive there.
I don't see. I can see those cigarette butts and all that, and some, like, all the kids when they play around leave some bags and all that, but we blow two times a week that whole parking lot. So, like I said, they have to cooperate too.
John, did I see your hand?
No.
No.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board to Mr. Patel? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception request? Final call, others to speak to the special exception. Mr. Earl.
Sir, could I add a little something to that, what Ms. Turner said a few minutes ago?
Again, read yourself into the minutes, please.
Again, my name is Tom Aldrich. I was by there at 4:30. And trash was everywhere, positively. And the fence on the backside where the dumpster was half hanging down, trash all over that area. But to me, that's the way it's been all along. So,
question to Ms. Aldrich? Thank you. Do we have others to speak? Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion. give it a try.
Mr. Chairman.
Bud.
I'll make another motion, sir. I move that approval be granted to allow construction of a multifamily development at 881 Lawrence Street and shown in Exhibit B, but the complex will have no more than 16 dwelling units and allow for 2 automobile parking places per unit and adequate landscaping and receptacles to limit the amount of trash that may be generated at this complex. And the final order will be recorded in the Aiken County RMC office.
Do we have a second?
I second that, Mr. Chairman.
John?
Yes.
It's been properly moved and second that we grant this special exception for no more than 16 units with the other items as stated in the staff report. It's been moved, properly moved and second. Do we have any discussion?
That would be a maximum of 2 cars per unit parking.
A maximum minimum?
I'm sorry, minimum.
Okay.
Do we have any discussion?
I think even the 16 might prove on the generous side. There's no question in my mind that this is a very dense development. This project development recommendation is for a very dense development. I think of any combination of with 2 bedrooms of 2 adults, with a car each, 2 adults, a married family with children, and the question is, where do the children play? In the parking lot with the cars, where there's not enough parking spaces for all the cars. The generous piece of grass that the site engineer referred to, I guess that means the maybe green space between the building and the fence. Certainly not next to the road along Lawrence Street. We don't want the children playing there. So I applaud you, Bud, for the recommendation cutting down the density of this and increasing the parking spaces. I still think it's on the generous side.
It has been the recent practice of this board that any recommendation for approval that it be tied to an exhibit or something for the planning department, the building department to monitor the progress on. So I don't see how we could move forward without having something concrete to tie it to at this particular time.
I guess to clarify on that, we're ruling on the special exemption use, correct?
Right.
So does there not have to be a concept plan sent to somebody for approval?
Once you allow the use there, the further approvals will be staff approval. This isn't one of the plan districts like plan commercial, plan residential, where there's a concept plan that goes to the planning commission and council. This is zoned general business. So once you approve this, I'll mention this too, if it wasn't a project that required a special exception approval, it would all be staff reviewed. In other words, if it met what was in the ordinance, we would need to approve it. So once the special exception, if a special exception is approved, then staff will review it to make sure it meets the criteria in the zoning ordinance and any conditions that the board puts on it. But other than that, there wouldn't be any other additional review or public hearings for the review criteria.
So if there's a concern amongst the board members here about play areas and all that, does that need to be as part of a condition or a, so that staff does have the overview for that?
Yes, sir. And I might suggest if you want some specifics, play area, a better, how the play areas, the reconfiguration, any reconfigurations in the parking spaces and that type, it might be, the board may want to continue it and have the applicant bring back a plan that's showing what the board wants to see in that development so that whenever we go to the enforcement mode or in the approval mode, we've got that plan that y'all looked at and said is okay.
Question to the city. Requiring having a continuance would do the same thing, or would a denial do the same thing? Would there would be enough of a modification that they do not have to meet that year requirement? Whenever they modify the plan, they can reapply.
That would depend what the application is for. If it is significant enough, and of course cutting the density from 14 units an acre to, I think I figured 10.1 an acre, that would probably be significant enough to trip that. And of course, if they incorporate play areas, some of the concerns addressed here tonight, I think we could make a good case of not having to wait the year.
Thank you.
I guess I'm not sure what, to the rest of the board members, a continuance to give them, voicing concerns around, a laundry facility, play area, stuff like that. In terms of, density, they're meeting the same density as everything else around them now.
We can set a lot of conditions. I don't think we want to be in the design business, but I think we can certainly set limitations on density, and let the if the applicant wants to redo his concept plan, let him do it.
Well, I did I heard the number 16, and I did the math, and mine comes out 10, just like yours does. And so that is even lower than what the other complexes are that have been referenced during this discussion.
Density-wise, that fits in exactly what he's got around him. I too have some concerns over having proper amenities, and the like. I guess our methodology I'm in favor, I think, of seeing a concept plan submitted to us so that there is a overview of that from staff. I think the methodology of continuing versus denying, I guess that's where I'm having an issue with. I don't know why we don't continue it and let them put something together and then rehear it at that point.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a general concern. I think we all mutually agree that 46 bedrooms with 46 cars and probably up to 60 plus people living in an acre and a half is too much. So we either continue it or turn it down and let the applicant come back with something significantly different.
Sound like to me the end results will be the same in both cases, either case.
Well, I think one doesn't leave it to interpretation, although I agree with city's council that they would suspect that them refiguring stuff per our discussion probably meets the threshold of not having to sit out a year. I don't know why. I think I'm in favor of a continuance just to completely eliminate any curveball. There's no reason to stop a reasonable development. So I guess that's where I stand. But in terms of where we are with the official motion, I don't know. Either way, be either rejecting it straight up or we're asking for a continuance. I don't know what the rules are for doing that.
Would they be back to me then, Mr. Chair, to modify my motion, or?
You can let the motion stand and see which way it goes, and then we could have a, we can have a new motion depending on the outcome of the old one. Okay. Do we have any further discussion? Those in favor of the motion, can we have a reread the motion so we know what we're voting on?
Motion to approve application number 1692002 to allow construction of multifamily development. Approval granted to allow construction of multifamily development at 881 Warren Street, as shown in Exhibit B. The complex will not have more than 16 dwelling units and a minimum of 2 automobile spaces per unit. The final order is recorded at the Aiken County RMC office.
Now, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. The motion is denied unanimously.
The motion's been denied, so there is no...
We can do a second motion, Kevin.
We could do a continuance, but I don't want to put any pressure on them to get back to us if they're not certain. They can come back to us when they're ready with a new application. Is my interpretation correct, staff?
What's that, sir?
That they can come back without a motion for a continuance, that they can come back. If they redraw their plan, they can make a new application and come back when they are ready.
When they are
rather
ready.
Rather than us putting a parameter on when they should come back.
That would be correct. And it would, it also requires it to be significantly different. And I think going from 14 to 10 is significantly different.
Thank you. The chair is going to call for a 10-minute break.